Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast, Sunday, May 13th, 2018. Reverend Judy Slater is our guest preacher today. Her sermon is entitled, Praying People. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19.
Our sermon, our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 17. It's part of the Upper Room Discourse, so we're going back a little bit in time to pre-Easter, even though it's the sixth or seventh Sunday of Easter. The passage begins in verse 6 and it ends in verse 19. So listen for the word of the Lord. I have made your name known to those who you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let's see what it's all about today. If you ask Jesus to pray the table prayer, you need to get ready to keep your eyes closed for a long time. At least if he prays like he did in this passage today, John 17. His prayer goes on for 26 verses, and I only read a part of it. And it isn't, God is great, God is good, let us thank God for the food, either. Besides, when Jesus prays this prayer, they've already eaten the meal. This chapter is often called Jesus' high priestly prayer and concludes a lengthy time spent around the Passover meal, which started way back in chapter 13. In the first part of the prayer, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is talking intimately to God about leaving his time on earth and returning to God. He is pouring out his heart to God and uses the word glorify 5 times to plead that he be honored and praised for his work giving the world eternal life. He wants to make sure that his life purpose is fulfilled, and even though he trusts fully in God, this prayer may help him trust and convince himself at this perilous juncture. He wants all people to know God as he has known the heart and actions of God. In verses 6 through 19, our lectionary passage for this morning, he then moves on to pray for his disciples. It is a tender, motherly prayer about God's children he has so carefully and intentionally befriended, shared, and poured out everything he knew just to them. Jesus opens his heart wide and lays out his concerns for his closest friends on earth. This will be his last meal with them, and heaven only knows what will happen to them when he is gone. He prays that they would be protected in God's name so that they may be one, and that they may be protected from the evil one. There is something that has occurred in the disciples' lives that they are no longer a part of this world. They have become acquainted with a new way of living known as the kingdom of God, which turns the world's values upside down and makes them ripe for criticism, contempt, persecution, and even death. Jesus knows that the road ahead of them will not be easy and wants to do all he can to protect them from the hate the world will spew upon them. He asks God that they be sanctified in the truth. Sanctified means to be made holy and set apart with a living truth that will influence their way of being and every thought and action. He asks this so that their joy may be complete. Joy and reassurance in knowing God's way of living life, seen in the great words and works of Jesus as accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection, and the continuing reign of God. He asks that their joy may be complete as it works through every nook and cranny in the world from this time on until God's vision of peace and wholeness is complete. In the third part of the prayer, verses 20 through 25, Jesus prays for the world that they would know God's love, and in that love, that they would all be one, one in God, one in Jesus, and one with one another. Jesus knows that unity is necessary to keep his ministry going. And it is the call of the church today, at a time when there is so much dissension, disagreement, division, and disengagement. The Presbyterian Book of Order has a beautiful paragraph about unity. Quote, "To be one with Christ is to be joined with all those whom Christ calls into relationship with him. To be thus joined with one another is to become priests for praying for one another, praying for the world and for one another, and sharing the various gifts God has given to each Christian for the benefit of the whole community. Divisions into different denominations obscures but does not destroy the unity in Christ. The PCUSA is committed to the reduction of that obscurity and is willing to seek and deepen communion with all other churches within the one holy little C Catholic and Apostolic Church," unquote. And Jesus wouldn't mind if we took up the prayer where he left off. It is lofty, bold, a bit idealistic, if not seemingly impossible. The disciples have already been taught what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is often a rote prayer prayed without passion and emotion that we encounter in this very personal prayer. Prayer in any form is the instrument of choice for dealing with all that we encounter with ourselves, others, and the world. Prayer is keeping the intimacy of the relationship we have with God in Christ alive and active. So let's talk a little bit about prayer. But first, let's hear from that favorite theologian of mine, Frederick Buechner, about what he has to say about prayer. We all pray, whether we think of it as praying or not. The odd silence we fall into when something very beautiful is happening, or something very good or very bad. The ah that sometimes floats up out of us as out of a 4th of July crowd when the skyrockets burst over the water. the stammer of pain at someone else's pain, the stammer of joy at somebody else's joy. Whatever words or sounds we use for sighing with over our own lives, these are all prayers in their way. These are all spoken not just to ourselves, but to something even more familiar than ourselves and even more strange than the world. According to Jesus, by far the most important thing about prayer is to keep at it. The images he uses to explain this are all rather comic, as though he thought it was rather comic to have to explain it at all. He said God is like a friend you go to borrow bread from at midnight. The friend tells you, in effect, to drop dead, but you go on knocking anyway until he finally gives you what you want so he can go back to bed again. Or God is like a crooked judge who refuses to hear the case of a certain poor widow, presumably because he knows there's nothing much in it for him. But she keeps on hounding him until finally he hears her case just to get her out of his hair. Even a stinker, Jesus said, won't give his own child a black eye when the child asks for peanut butter and jelly. So how all the more will God win his children? Be importunate, Jesus says, not, one assumes, because you have to beat a path to God's door before God will open it, but because until you beat the path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. Ravish my heart, John Donne wrote. But God will not usually ravish. He will only court. Whatever else it may or may not be, prayer is at least talking to yourself. And that's in itself not always a bad idea. Talk to yourself about your own life, about what you've done and what you failed to do, and about who you are and who you wish you were, and who the people you love are and the people you don't love too. Talk to yourself about what matters most to you, because if you don't, you may forget what matters most to you. Even if you don't believe anybody's listening, at least you'll be listening. Believe somebody is listening. Believe in miracles. That's what Jesus told the father who asked him to heal his epileptic son. Jesus said, all things are possible to the one who believes. And the Father spoke for all of us when he answered, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What about when the boy is not healed? When listened to or not listened to, the prayer goes unanswered. Who knows? Just keep praying, Jesus says. Remember the sleepy friend, the crooked judge. Even if the boy dies, keep on beating the path to God's door, because the one thing you can be sure of is that down the path you beat, even with your most half-cocked and halting prayer, the God you call upon will finally come. I hope this dispels with a bit of humor the notion that we have to pray everything just right, that we don't have to master the mechanics, or only that holy people, pastors, and professionals can offer a prayer. In fact, we all need to be effective prayers to be effective lovers. The key to the heart of God is prayer, and that is where we meet God, heart to heart. It is a love relationship, one that endures, persists, and overcomes all odds and grows in love with the God of the universe. We simply bring ourselves to God as we are, right where we are, open our hearts to God's love, make our requests known, and trust that God can reach us and bless us within everyday life. We work with God when we pray, and in doing so, we work to change ourselves and the world. Jesus' table prayer was for his disciples, but I don't think Jesus would mind if we took up the prayer where he left off. Jesus longed for them to be close to the heart of God, even as he was intimate with God. Jesus is praying for us, and we in turn pray for others. So how do we pray? There are thousands of books written on prayer, from two simple phrases from Anne Lamott, help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you, to categories of prayers such as the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, to prayers that are prophetic and profound and poetic, that have been passed down through the ages and used day by day, week by week, and year after year in prayer books and missals, so that they become a part of you. I want to add a word of caution, however. Often people want to pray for what they want for the person or situation, and that may not be what is needed, necessary, or ultimately the best for all involved. Only God knows what's best and what is needed. There is an energetic condition called prayer fatigue that occurs when many people are praying for what they want for a person, and it sets up a kind of energetic confusion and blockage that is carried forward with the person, especially if a person has ongoing needs and situations that shift and change throughout the course of time. Larry Dossey, in his book, Be Careful for What You Pray For, You Just Might Get It, even suggests that our thoughts, whether thought out or just uttered in a moment of frustration or anger, have unintentional and even very negative effects akin to curses on those who are the recipients of those careless thoughts, prayers, and wishes. Our thoughts last longer than the moment we utter them and connect to the intended person or situation, whether we intend it or not. This caused me to think very seriously about how I pray and even think about other people. I am now very careful to notice when my thoughts wander to someone in a critical manner, and I try to immediately stop and refocus. For me, I found that using the prayers that Paul offers in the epistles as guidelines very helpful. Paul prays for what I call character qualities of the person, rather than the specifics of the situation. This helps the person and binds the person in a loving, intimate way to God. Here is one of my favorites, Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know God better. I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wouldn't you like a spirit of wisdom, revelation, enlightenment, and hope? And here's another one from chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, which I offered to a church in Xi'an, China. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness with God. Filled to the measure of all fullness with God. And finally, one from Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Who wouldn't want that prayed for them? There are many others to find in Scripture, all centered in a relationship of love, which unites us with God, our true self, others, and the world around us. So pray silently, loudly, with sighs, tears, gestures, body movement, formally, informally, with one word, with volumes, intimately. May we pray intimately, pouring out our heart to God, tenderly, with protection, compassion, and love, carefully discerning with spirit what character qualities are needed to support, sustain, and bring the best outcome, and be united in our vision for one another and for the world. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.